Okay, so what was that question?
It's from chapter 4, Adi Lila, verse 62, Srila Prabhupada was giving a long purport about the spiritual world and how it's distinct from the material energy, which is made of the three modes, and that the spiritual energy consists of these three divisions, knowledge, existence and bliss. And then at the end he gives this purple paragraph, which I don't understand. I was going to ask you about it. Should I read the purple? Each of the three divisions of the internal potency, the Sandini, Sambit and Ladini energies, influences one of the external potencies by which the conditioned souls are conducted. So my question is, do these three potencies correlate with one of each mode, or do they influence all three of the modes under certain conditions? Is there a correlation?
Well, Ladini, Sandini, Sambit, Bliss, Transcendental Knowledge and Existence have their material counterparts, temporary existence, material knowledge, and material happiness. And so those are present here in the world. As to a one-to-one correlation, it's not. I've never heard that or seen that. Sattva Rajas Tamas is a one-to-one correlation. Rather, for instance, I think it would be more a matter of how one of those particular characteristics, the material aspect of those characteristics, is more common, dominant or prominent in a mode of nature, such as happiness, sattvam sanjayate jnanam. Happiness is the symptom of the mode of goodness, satisfaction, and knowledge, or at least passionate knowledge about sense gratification and the search for sense gratification is dominant in passion. And in ignorance, all you can say is people are existing. They have neither knowledge, they have neither happiness. And that's the, for instance, when a living entity is said to be blessed by the spiritual potency, then it's always described as the Sambit Ladini Shakti descending upon the living entity. But the Sambit Ladini Shakti don't exist separate from the Sandini Shakti. Sandini Shakti is what enables them to exist. But it's not mentioned. It's just understood. And so similarly, so we say that Srimati Radharani is the personification of the Ladini potency. It sounds like she's just the personification of Ladini potency, but obviously she's more than that, because knowledge is there as well as her existence. So that means, talking about what is the dominance of a certain characteristic, either dominance of the mode or dominance of one of these qualities, and therefore, seems like Prabhupada's emphasizing that these modes are dominant there And that's how I would take it.
Yeah, brilliant. In the Prabhupada's books, it's a constantly recurring theme about the modes of nature and liberation from the modes of nature. It's kind of key to understanding, in one sense.
Kind of what?
It's a key to kind of understanding or realization. How to understand that.
I don't understand. Is that a question?
It's kind of, like it says, if you chant, Brahma Gayatri gives you liberation and the holy name gives you love of God. So, and you can't chant Brahma Gayatri perfect until you're in the mode of goodness. So, but we just chant that mantra 30 times a day. So how is that kind of giving liberation?
Liberation is a process. You become liberated once you come to the mode of goodness. You're not liberated in the mode of ignorance. You have to come to the mode of goodness to become liberated. And when one rises to that mode of goodness, but liberation is automatically included there in a devotee's perfection. He's already liberated from the modes of material nature, and he doesn't want just liberation, because liberation itself is just a negation of suffering. It's nothing positive. Certainly not the positive condition of the living entity. Mukti hitva anyata rupa svarupena vyavastiti. So real mukti means svarup, just the liberation in terms of merging into impersonal Brahman. That's not something that devotees care for. So, but anyway, it's like that. Devotees need to investigate and study. That's what Maharaj Prabhupada talked about, seeing things from different angles of vision. Yes, that we have to understand. Knowledge doesn't just come just from a limited approach to things. You have to see the overall vision and statement of Shastra. In the same way, we have to see Prabhupada's overall instructions. Sometimes devotees get into arguments. Someone quotes this from Prabhupada, someone quotes something opposing from Prabhupada. But the whole thing is, how are Prabhupada's opposing statements actually reconciled? And how are different statements of Shastra also reconciled? Because Shastra says different things to different types of people, or to different levels of devotees. And in the course of discussion, there's always different emphasis placed on things. So just like this thing, Srimati Radharani is the personification of the Ladini Shakti. It's an emphasis. That she's bliss personified. But there's more. And when we read other things, and then we learn more, and we understand things in a more balanced and holistic way.
in one of the memories videos, Shama Sunda says that in just one day, Prabhupada would meet different devotees and give them completely opposite instructions according to their, you know, circumstance.
Yeah, that's so instruction from spiritual master about either service or the application of Krishna consciousness is one thing, and then there's absolute principles that are stated in Shastra, and just the method of communication cannot be that you can't say everything all at once. Things are stated systematically, bit by bit. Therefore, you can't understand the absolute truth just by pulling out one verse or one quote. You have to, that's why Prabhupada wanted us to study and analyze things in detail and then when we do, then we get the whole picture. Otherwise, you just end up with the elephant's trunk or something. Mm-hmm. You don't really get to see what's the whole thing all about. Okay. I'll put that dancing ant up. Curious to see how non-devotees respond to that. Put it on Twitter as well. Hare Krishna.